been studying in the book of Acts, and we're in chapter number 27, and we got down through verse number 26 last time in this chapter. So we're going to start in verse 27 tonight, if you will, and we'll finish this chapter. We'll get through the end of this chapter, and we've been following this storm that Paul has been in. He's been in a terrible storm, and not just him, but all of those that are in the ship with him. And I'm glad the Lord told him that. You know, you're going to be in a storm. There's going to be people with you. And I have given you all of them that are there in the ship. And I'm going to save them just like I'm going to save you. Amen. You know, there's a lot of times we think about, well, you know, I'm saved and God's done something for me and God's watching over me. Hey, he even cares for those that don't care about him. He even watches over them that don't even have them in their thoughts or in their recognition of anybody. God cared for all of these soldiers and these sailors and these prisoners, everybody on here. And I'll tell you, when you think about this, there's probably some pretty mean and ugly people in this group that Paul is with. They probably, you know, we know that it talks about him being there and some other prisoners with him. Now, we're never told anything about them, but we probably could assume they are pretty rough people. There might even been some murderers. There might even been some seditionists, some people that were against the government. I mean, that would do all kinds of evil and wicked things. And they're all going to see Caesar, and maybe several of them done the same thing Paul did. They appealed their sentences and wanted to go before Caesar. So we don't know exactly who's with them, but somebody is, and God is watching over all of them. So let's start, if you will, in verse number 27, as we're in the storm, and Paul has just told the whole group of them that God's going to take care of them. And we remember what he said there in verse number 25. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, he said, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, in verse 27, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion, to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread, gave thanks to God in presence of them all, and when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were in all the ship 216 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship, cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves under the sea and loosed the rudder bands, hoisted up the mainsail to the wind, and made toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land and rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they all escaped all safe to land. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, again for this evening. Thank you for your word, and thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for what we see here and the things that you have given to Paul and done for him, and that you do for others that you love and those that you show mercy on. And I pray you get honor and glory out of everything that we say tonight. May we honor you, praise you, and just worship you this evening. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. I want you to see this. We're gonna say this, that the storm comes to a close. The storm comes to a close. Isn't that one of the best days in your Christian life, when you've gone through a storm and then finally the storm comes to a close? There is an ending to that particular situation and that particular struggle, that particular problem that you're in. Thank God when that storm comes to a close. Amen? I mean, hey, it's not a pretty sight. It's not an exciting, you know, as far as joyous thing to be in the storm. But thank God it's a good day when everything gets over. Amen? And you can see that as these men are going through this situation, they're looking for this. And I think as you read this, you can understand it looks like things are getting better and better and better. I mean, if you'll notice, as we read here, it says, as it begins in verse number 27, but when the 14th night was come, I mean, that's 2 weeks, folks. 2 weeks of being in a physical storm at sea. I mean, there's nowhere else to go. You're there in a boat, and there's no land to get to. There's no place to call a timeout. I mean, there's nothing you can do. Brother, they're just there. Now, you think about that, and you say, well, preacher, that's just 14 days. Yeah, most of us can't make it very long, can we? I mean, 14 days. Can I tell you that? 14 days, that's 324 hours. 324 continuous hours of being beaten, battered, up and down, in the dark, winds blowing, rain falling, water splashing. I mean, right there in the midst of it for 324 hours of problems. I mean, of a storm right there, and it doesn't let up. You know, sometimes when we get into issues, we kind of think, well, you know, I've got a little lull and maybe the thing starts back again. But I mean, here they were for, as I say, 324 hours, 14 continuous days. That's a pretty tough time to be in a storm. But there they were. So what do you do, and how do you deal with a situation when you're in a storm? Let's kind of talk about that tonight, if you will. And notice this as we go a little bit further. First of all, I want you to notice as they talk about the fact on down here in verse number 29, it said, then fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. First of all, let's talk about this. Let's talk about the worth of an anchor. The worth of an anchor. Can I tell you, we need an anchor. Amen? Aren't you glad that the Bible tells us that we have an anchor, and our anchor is found in Christ Jesus? We've got an anchor. Let me just say this first of all. You need a strong anchor. Boy, when you get into this situation, you need a strong anchor. Now listen. Here are these guys out here in the middle of this sea, and they're bobbing around, and the wind's blowing, and, you know, it's dark. All these things are going on for 2 weeks. And you know what? The only hope that they have is a little old preacher over here telling them something from the Word of God. That's the only hope they got. Some of them don't know anything about the Word of God. Some of them don't believe the Word of God. Some of them believe it's a fairy tale. Some of them think many other things, and they say they got their own gods. But, buddy, the only hope, the only assurance, the only help that they can see is somebody's telling them, here's what God revealed to me. Amen? You ever see people in that situation in this life? I mean, they say, well, preacher, I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to pray. I don't know nothing about God. All I know is my loved one's sick or my family's in trouble or this issue or this problem. And I just don't know what to do. Can I tell you, hey, me and you need to step in and say, there is an anchor that will help you through a time like this. And let me say, as I mentioned, first of all, you need a strong anchor. You need a strong anchor. I mean, let me tell you, Jesus is the strongest anchor that I know of. Amen? The songwriter said many years ago, in times like these, we need an anchor. Amen? In times like these, we need a Savior. Amen? Be sure, be very sure that your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. Can I tell you, hey, this anchor that you and I have got is something that we can put our trust in. Now, the historians say that these men had probably about upwards of even 20 anchors in their boat. I didn't realize that. I didn't know. But they said sometimes they needed them to stabilize them and to get them into whatever port or position or whatever they need to be in, that they had multiple anchors. I didn't realize that. You know, we think today mainly in a naval situation. We see a ship, it might have, we think, just one. But I think maybe even on modern vessels today, there's more than one anchor. The Bible tells us these men threw out four anchors. They threw out four anchors. There's a lot of folks said, well, and I've even preached on it before about the four anchors. And there's things you can say about that whatever it may be, it don't matter. But I'm just telling you, man, you need an anchor. And you need, first of all, a strong anchor. You know why you need a strong anchor? Because you want to get dug in where you're at. You see what they're fighting? It says fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks. I mean, there was some rocky terrain. There was something there ahead of them. There was something that they noticed. And as they noticed that, they said, we need to anchor down right here. Amen. Hey, when you anchor down with Jesus, it'll keep you from some fearful situation. It'll keep, when you got a strong anchor, we need a strong anchor. And Jesus, as I said, is the strongest anchor that I know of. Oh, preacher, I'm going to depend on the economy. You're in trouble. I'm going to depend on the politicians. They'll work it out. You're in trouble. I'm going to depend on things getting better. You're really in trouble, amen? If those are the things you're hoping on and wishing for and looking to, you're in trouble. You need a strong anchor. And that anchor is Jesus. But not only do you need a strong anchor, let me just say this, you need a sure anchor. Now, you got to have a strong anchor. And as I say, I believe our anchor is found in Christ Jesus and all the things that he tells us. But you need a sure anchor. Let me say this. These guys, if you look, and I think I've got a map here maybe we'll look at in a few minutes. These guys have already drifted 475 miles in this storm. I mean, this storm has tossed them from where they started. And as their intentions were with that little soft breeze to go northward, all of a sudden it sent them southward and westward 475 miles. And you know what? They have no idea where they are. I mean, they're off course. I mean, they're way off course. They are at a place, and we're going to see here as you read it, talks about them going to an island, a certain place that we know today is called Malta. As they get, they had no idea where they were. Amen. Can I tell you, sometimes a storm will take you to where you don't know where you are. I mean, you think about there's Naomi in the book of Ruth, and she's down there in the land of Moab with her husband and her two boys, and they've got married, they got wives, they're looking for a good life, and all of a sudden her husband dies. And then the next thing you know, her two sons die. And buddy, she don't know how in the world she got there, but she's there in the middle of the worst time of her life. She's there. And she doesn't understand. and she's not happy, and it's not good, and she don't know what to do. She hears somebody finally sends her word that God's blessed his people back in Israel, and that there's bread in the house of bread at Bethlehem. So she gets her mind made up to go, and her daughter-in-law Ruth said, I'm going with you, amen. Hey, sometimes you don't know where you are. You're not where you think you are. And you're certainly not where you want to be. But you know what? Hey, God's still in control of it all. God's still in control of it all. As I said, 475 miles they have traveled after this storm has started. And man, they ain't got a clue where they are, but they are somewhere. They're somewhere. Now notice what it says here. Verse 28, just for a little understanding. If you'll notice in verse 27, it says, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country. Those men that were experienced sailors, there was something that let them know they were nearing some land. There's something. And some of the theologians and other people have studied this, probably more people more familiar with sailing and that kind of thing, said that they probably could hear a noise that sounded like water hitting rocks or something like that let them know we're getting closer to land. We can hear it. Why is that? Because they were experienced. They'd done this before. Even though it's pitch dark, even though they're in the middle of a storm, they hear something that says, hey, boys, there's something up ahead, and it's got to be better than what we're in. Okay, this has got to be. So they deemed that they were near some country. So what they did is, if you'll notice in verse 28, it says they sounded. Now, to sound, I don't know if y'all remember this. This was a term that was used in the book written by Mark Twain, Tom Sawyer. Some of that was in there. And he talked about how that they, and it's a way of measuring the depth of the water where you are. Now that term sounded. And what they did is they let a rope down, and they would pull it up. And they estimate that every time they pulled it up, about 6 feet from fingertip to fingertip of a man, that was 6 feet of that. So they would lower it by so much. When it hit, they'd have a piece of iron or something tied on the end of it that would hit bottom. When they pulled it up, they could figure out how deep the water was. At their first sounding, you'll notice that it says here that they found it 20 fathoms. That's about 120 feet of water. 120 feet. And then as they moved on a little bit, it says, when they'd gone a little further, they sounded again, and they found it 15 fathoms. They said, the water's getting shallower. We're going somewhere. We're near something. There's something about to happen, and praise God, this storm is about to find its complete. I mean, this ship and everything that we're in, hey, we're about to get to somewhere. But they realized also, as we're getting closer and we have no real control of the ship like we'd like to have, we need to do something. So that's when they threw out the anchors. It's when they threw out their anchors. And in doing that, they realized they had a strong anchor. They realized they had a sure anchor. And then I want you to notice this. You need a secure spot for your anchor to hit. You need a secure. Can I tell you? Hey, there's a foundation. Paul said that there's no other foundation given other than that one that God gave me, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. That's your secure foundation. When your anchor's in him, and he is your anchor, and that anchor is your hope of him and everything that he is, and you get anchored in what he's got, you have a sure place to find out that you can get in. Amen? Boy, and that's what they were looking for. You know why they threw those anchors? It says they threw them out of the back of the ship, the rear of the ship. You know why they did that? That would point the ship in the direction they wanted to go. Can I tell you, throw your anchors in Jesus out of your ship, and he'll point you to where you need to go. You need to get yourself pointed in the right place. When you get in the Lord Jesus, when you find out he is your anchor, when you find out he's the strongest anchor, when you find out it's a sure anchor, thank God you can find out that your anchor has got a solid place for it to grab hold. It's a secure anchor also. Amen? I mean, here it is, the security of this anchor. What's it stuck in? Now, you've seen it. I've seen it just a little bit in, you know, fishing and that kind of thing with other people. They'd say, well, my anchor's not holding and we're drifting away. Why? Because it wasn't in anything secure. It was in something muddy or something that was slick or something. It just didn't, you know, sink in right, whatever it is. So they hunted something a little more secure. Hey, there's nothing any more secure than what we've got in Jesus Christ. Nothing any more secure than the Word of God. Hey, old Paul told him, he said, boys, y'all hang with the ship. The Lord's going to save us, and you better just stay on board. Something's going to happen. We're going to lose the ship. But I can tell you, he's going to take care of us. Can I tell you, thank God the promise that is given there is the same for me and you. He's going to take care of me and you.
That's right.
Amen. So first of all, you see the worth of an anchor. And this is my picture. I don't know how well you can see that. But here's where they started. And they have gone here, here, and now there's a little island here called Malta. And that's 470 miles of their drifting, 475 miles of their drifting. And, boy, preacher, wasn't they lucky that they went to it? No, they wasn't lucky. God had a place just for them. God had a place picked out. God had a storm. God had an ending for the storm. God had a place for them to go when the storm got over. Amen? I believe that. Today, if you look at the island of Malta, as you begin to look at that, there is a place there, and it's called St. Paul's Bay. Would you believe that that's where they wound up? Now, obviously, in that day, it wasn't called St. Paul's Bay, but it's called St. Paul's Bay today because of, that's the place they went. But God allowed them to go to this place, and it's an inlet into the island that's a little bayed area. In other words, it would be good for a ship to go to, and it, you know, it shallowed up, and eventually you're going to see where they push the ship into the to the place where it is, and then the ship flies apart after the front end of it gets stuck, but they make it onto shore. But aren't you glad, boy, that we've got that kind of God that can, you can go off course, but he knows where you're going. Hey, things can be out of your control, but it's still in his control. He knows where, he knows how, amen. And he knows exactly what he's doing. So let's look, if you will, second thing. Not only the worth of your anchor. Second of all, I want you to notice this. Let's look, if you will, at the work of faith. The working of faith. Let's notice how faith works. You see that? First of all, let me say this. Your faith needs some navigation. Your faith needs some navigation. Now, when you begin to look at that, look there in verse number 30. And it said, then the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship. And when they had let down the boat, remember they had a little boat and they brought it in? They got a little boat. They're getting ready to get in that and get off this thing and try to save themselves. He says, under color, as though they would have cast anchors out. Well, we're going to go over here and cast out some anchors. But there's a bunch of them said, let's jump in that boat and we'll get out of here. But Paul was wise to what was going on. And he told the centurion, he said, these guys got to stay with it. Paul said the centurion to the soldier, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and they let her fall. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying your faith needs some navigation. Sometimes there's somebody that can tell you better than what you think. I mean, their thoughts were, let's get out of this, let's escape, we'll live, and we don't care what happens to them. Paul said, nope. You need to stay with the boat. Amen? I'm telling you, sometimes it seems like it'd be the easiest thing to just cut and run. Oh, preacher, things ain't going good. I'm getting out of here. Stay with the ship.
Amen.
Stay with what the Lord has provided. Stay with the course God has directed. I mean, sometimes you and I need some navigation. I'm glad the Holy Ghost can navigate.
Amen.
Can I tell y'all, boy, I ain't much of a navigator, but hallelujah, God gave me one over there. Amen. I mean, listen, I mean, I can tell you, there have been a number of times she'd say, you need to get ready to turn up here. And I'm said, you sure? Yep, I'm sure. Get over in the right lane. You're getting ready to turn. Yes, ma'am. Amen. I'm ready. Okay. I need some navigation. Can I tell you, through your life and in your faith life, you need some navigation. And the Holy Ghost is the best navigator that I can tell you about. The Holy Ghost can lead you into some places, and you might not think you need to be there. You might not know what's going to happen. But if He's leading you, thank God He'll take care of you and get you through those places too. Amen? You need it. Paul said, look, here's what's got to happen. And he said the soldiers cut those ropes off, and man, they were ready for the situation as they were. Sometimes you just need some navigation. You need somebody that's got some God on them. God puts people in churches, and they've got some God on them, and they can discern some things that others cannot. They can see when there's a wolf slides in. They can see when there's a problem about to erupt. They can see when things are not as they appear to be. I'm glad there's some navigation. And that kind of navigation, as I said, comes through knowing the Holy Spirit of God and being led by the Spirit. The Bible tells us that we, as children of God, should be led by the Spirit. Amen. Romans chapter number 8, Paul spends a lot of time on that, as he is saying that those that have the Spirit, they need to walk in it, be led by it. You need to go. He said there's no condemnation now to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not by the flesh, but by the Spirit. So you and I ought to understand, we need that Holy Ghost navigator in our life. Paul said, this is what God said. This is how God said do it. Let's just follow what He says. Your faith needs some navigation. Second of all, your faith sometimes needs some nourishment. Listen to what it says here. It says, and while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this is the 14th day. Boy, they wasn't Baptists, was they? That you've tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Baptists can't make it 14 minutes. Amen, right there. 14 days. They hadn't eaten in 2 weeks. But now, you know, and I'm not trying to be gross or ugly, but think about it. I mean, y'all ever got green out on the sea? Woo, I have. And it ain't no fun. Amen. Some of y'all say, preacher, you're right. I've been there and done that. I mean, it ain't a bit of fun. I mean, man, it's an experience that you don't want, right? When you get seasick, could you imagine 14 days? And them boys said, I want something to eat, but I don't want nothing to eat. Because if I do, it ain't going to hang around very long. It's a coming right back. I mean, it's, you know, they've been 14 days. In a turbulent storm, in a up and down boat, and in a frightened condition, you get kind of tore up. You know what? It's hard to eat when you get all kind of tore up, right? So they haven't eaten here for 2 weeks. He said, this is the 14th day that you've tarried and continued fasting, haven't taken nothing. He said, wherefore I pray you, take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread, gave thanks to God in the presence of them all, and when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. Amen? Hey, sometimes your faith needs some nourishment. Now, let me just tell you this. Sometimes you can get yourself so tore up, and the devil can get you tore up in situations. You don't eat. You ever been there? Where you got just so caught up in a situation, you didn't want anything to eat. You were sick. And you know what that does? That just pushes you down another notch, and another. You keep going lower. I mean, it's difficult. Sometimes, yeah, you get sick at your own stomach because it's empty, and then you get sick thinking about eating. And you just get sicker and sicker, and you can really get yourself in some physical problem. But let me just tell you, spiritually, it's the same thing. Your faith needs some nourishment. The Bible said faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You need to hear from heaven, feed your faith. If you starve your faith, you'll die spiritually. Amen. And you know that's what's happened to a lot of churches? They've died spiritually because they don't want to eat out of this book. Oh, preacher, just tell us some stories and make us a little feel good and tell us about having our best life ever and all that junk. Get you some Bible. Chew on it. It may be hard. It may hurt. But thank God it'll help you. Amen. Can I tell you, we need to nourish our souls. We need the nourishment that comes from the Word of God. Paul wrote to Timothy, and I believe Brother Ronnie is reading this the other day to us in our Sunday school class, in 2 Timothy, in that third chapter, he says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's good for, he talks about being good for doctrine and reproof and the things of righteousness. I mean, hey, that Word's going to help you. Now, sometimes it might reprove you. It might spank you a little bit. It might hurt, but it'll help you in the long run. So you need to have your faith nourished. Paul said, you guys starved for 2 weeks, and you're getting weak. You're getting weaker. You're getting all out of sorts. Let's eat. You know what he said? I'll go first. Amen. If you don't have any trouble, I'll go first, okay? I remember a long time ago when I was a young preacher, and it's been a long time ago now, but we'd go to these preachers' meetings. They'd have young preachers' meetings in this group that I was with at the time, and we'd go to these young preachers' meetings, different places that meet, and we'd get there, and the moderator of the meeting would say, who feels like they got the message tonight? And have you ever been around anything like that? A bunch of young preachers looking at each other and saying, I ain't going to embarrass myself. You know what? I said, me, I'll go. I got some. It's probably dumb as a rock. Probably didn't make any sense. Probably didn't help nobody. But buddy, I got up and I got ready. Amen. Amen. Why? Because I wanted to get in that book. I wanted to learn something. I wanted to find out. I've been studying. I've been praying. I've been seeking God. I've been looking to Him. And I'm telling you, friend, hey, sometimes, if nobody else will, hey, I'll go first. I'm first in the ice cream line. Somebody say amen right there. I'll go first in the steak line. I mean, hey, whatever. Let's go. Pinto beans, count me in. Amen. Hey, Paul said, look, y'all need to eat something. He said, and when he had thus spoken, he took bread, gave thanks to God in the presence of all, verse 35, and when he had broken it, he began to eat. He said, I don't know about y'all, but I'm ready to eat something. And you know what it says? It says, and they were all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. Everybody said, well, that looked like he's doing pretty good. Let's try some of that and see how it goes. Amen? I mean, I believe sometimes you see others nourish their faith. You see some other folks, and you know they spent some time in prayer. They spent some time in the Word. They spent some time with God. I mean, hey, and you say, hey, that's working for them. I think I'll try it. Amen. And that's exactly what happens. Amen. Yeah, he got his cup full, running over, and blessed somebody else sometime. So sometimes your faith needs some nourishment. Your faith needs some navigation, some nourishment. And then sometimes, look at this, your faith is part of a greater number. You just see that in verse number 37. And we were in all in the ship, 216 souls. You see what that is? 276 souls were in that ship. And isn't that interesting, the way that that's worded? I mean, you ever, when you go on an airplane flight, you ever looked at an airplane manifest or heard some of the pilot talk? Do you know that on an airplane, a pilot will say there are 103 souls on board? He didn't say 103 passengers, 103 people. There's 103 souls on board. And that's always been interesting to me. Why do they say, well, brother, I'm glad they do. Because it's a soul. And Luke says here, we got 276 precious souls on board this ship. In danger of perishing, in danger of dying, in danger of hell, there's 276. Do you know your faith is part of a greater number? Aren't you glad you're among that thousands upon thousands that saved? Aren't you glad you're among that great number that's redeemed? Thank God my faith has put me in a greater number. I'm in with them. John stood there, and we talked about this a lot over in the book of Revelation. He said, I saw a crowd there. I saw a number. He said, 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. I can't even count that high, he said. You know what? We're there with them. Amen. We're there with them. Thank God. It's the Old Testament side. It's the New Testament side. It's all the people of God. They're praising, they're worshiping. And I'm just, by faith makes me part of a greater number.
Amen?
Amen? Now, I thought about this as you read this, where it says there were 276 people, 360 and 16. That makes 76. But there's that many. I think Paul's preached to all of them, don't you? 270. Well, where are they going to go? I don't want to hear that preaching. Where are you going? You kind of caught here, aren't you? I'm going to get in this corner. Paul said, I'm coming over here to preach in the corner. Well, I'm going out here on deck. I'm going to preach on deck. I mean, it's wherever you get. Paul's ready to preach. He had probably preached. They'd all probably heard the word of God. Had they all obeyed it? No, I don't think so. I don't see any indication. But can I tell you, they saw them as precious souls. They saw them not just merely as a number, not just merely as soldiers and the shipmen and the people that were prisoners along with Paul. They didn't just see them like that. Luke just takes time out right here and said, "All of we, you know what he said? We's all in this together. We all in this together." Can I tell you, there's people around you every day, and they're in this thing with you, and they need the same salvation you got. They need to know that Jesus loves them just like he loves you. They need to know that they need to be saved. Hey, we're in this thing together. I like it when we come together like we did Sunday. Y'all like that? I mean, where you just cut you out a big slice of it, eat on it, and woo! Now, who's in charge of that? Nobody. God just got in here and just kind of sloppy poured the Holy Ghost juice everywhere. It just went there and there and there and there and there and up here and up yonder in the crow's nest even. Isn't that amazing? I'm just telling you, we're all part. In our faith, we're part of a greater number. Part of a greater number. All right, let's look at one last thing real quickly here if we can. I want you to notice in verse number 30, it said the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, and they would have, verse 29, fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern, and they wished for the day. The wishing for the day. You ever caught yourself wishing for the day? Brother Larry Underwood was preaching the other day at Mother's funeral. And he said he'd been in the hospital, and he'd been in the hospital recently with blood clots in his lungs, and he had the flu, and he, you know, pretty bad shape as far as physically goes. And he said, you know, the doctor came in, started talking to him, and he said, do you have an advance directive? Now, they ask about an advance directive. If you've been in the hospital, they ask you, or if one of your loved ones has been, they ask you. And what that means is, if something happens, do you want us to try to do what they call heroic measures on you? Do you want us to try to do CPR? Do you want us to bring you back? Do you want us to shock you? Do you want us to do, you know, whatever it takes? You want us to do that? And Brother Larry said one of his, or his daughter, tried to answer. And the doctor said, no, you don't answer. I want him to answer. And Brother Larry said, I want to tell you something. He said, if it comes to that, he said, man, are you crazy? He said, me going to heaven? And you want to bring me back? He said, that's what I'm looking for. He said, if God's ready, I'm ready. Amen. Amen? Hey, can I tell you? Look, these guys are wishing for the day. Now, I know that probably has a little different meaning, but are you find yourself wishing for the day sometime? I'm looking for the day. Amen. Some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Battle's all over, and the victory is won. Amen. Can I tell you, we're looking for it, aren't we? They were standing out. Can you imagine, here are these guys, and they're in the middle of this storm. All this is going on, and you know what's in their hearts? Boy, if we could just get a little daybreak. If the sun would only shine. You ever been in a storm, and that, if I don't know. I mean, I can remember some days in the past when Judy was pretty sick. All I could think of, a lot of times, and I know it's crazy and probably selfish and everything, but I'd say, Lord, if you'd just let us see another sunrise. If we could just see, and that day would begin to come on. And you know, it just seemed to do something. It was better. It was better when the day began, when the sun began to creep up over the horizon. You know, it just did something. I don't know. Does it do something for you? I get up now sometimes and it's still pitch black in the night and you walk around and you say, come on daybreak. I'm looking for the daylight to get here. I mean, the night's so drear and the night so eerie and the night so reminds of death and all of those things. But when you begin to see, buddy, I love to look out of the back of the window in the kitchen, see across the horizon of the back, and you begin to see that little bit of orange, that little bit of glow. You begin to see that, whoo, here comes another day. And it's going to be a good one. Amen. I mean, I don't care what happens. It's just good when you get to see a little daylight. They were wishing for the day. Let me tell you this, what happens with us in the daylight. First of all, you can see more clearly. When the day comes on, you can see more clearly. They're like, man, we're tired of this storm stuff. We're tired of this dark. We're tired of all this. And if the day would just come on, we can see more clearly. Boy, isn't that what we're looking for? Listen to what Paul says here. Look, if you will, what it says. In verse 29, he says, they cast four anchors out of the stern, and they wished for the day. But look on down, if you will, in verse 33. And while the day was coming on, they began to get a little crack of daylight. Amen. And then look down at verse 39. And when it was day, woo, it finally got there, didn't it? Can I tell you? Boy, hey, man. That's the way I feel a lot of times. I'm wishing for the day. And then the day begins to come on. And then when it is day, you feel a lot better. Because first of all, you can see a lot more clearly. But second of all, you understand this. When you get there, the storm should be ceasing or at least lessening. That they said if the day would just come on, it'll help with this storm. We know the storm's passing, the storm's going, if it just be a little day. You ever been there where, buddy, it's raining, you get up and it's kind of dreary and ugly, and all of a sudden something changes and that little haze begins to break and the sun shines through and the rain passes off, and hallelujah, amen? Oh, the songwriter said it in one of our songs that we sing about. The clouds have passed away. I can see the light of day. The sun is shining through with hallelujahs. And I know that it's real. For I can, in my heart, I can feel he's heard my earnest prayer. Amen. That's the song that we sing. I know he heard my prayer. It's just like, boy, all that stuff begins to clear. All that, and you know you're coming through to the other side of the storm. And well, Luke here, he says, and when it was day. Hey, the daylight brought on some stuff. Look what it said, verse 39. When it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a creek with a shore into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. Hey, they could see better, and they knew there was some hope, and they knew there was a place, and they knew that it was land. And hallelujah, we're coming through this storm. The storm's about to be over. This thing's coming to a head, in other words, is what they're saying. They could see more clearly. The storms were ceasing, and a safe arrival was getting closer and closer as they came. Now you say, now preacher, it's kind of crazy. Can I tell you, all of them made it on shore just fine. What it says here is that the centurion, the soldiers wanted to kill everybody, the prisoners. But the centurion, it says, verse 43, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea. There's some that can swim. Hey, some folks that's been through some of these storms and some of the things that go, and they can swim. They're stronger than others. They're more able. They're more prepared than others. And the rest, well, sometimes you've got to get on a board or a broken piece of the ship. Thank God you can get on in there. I mean, you might have to have some help, but you can get on in there. I feel like I'm one of them. I ain't strong enough to do all this. I ain't strong enough to do all that. But I can grab a hold of a broken piece of the ship or a board or something, and I'm going to make it in. I'm going to make it in. Thank God. I'm going to get in there, and, buddy, there's a safe arrival that's coming soon. they all made it to shore. Isn't that what it says in that very last verse? Some on, then the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of ship. And it so came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. They might have been wet. They might have been tired. They might have been wearied. They might have been just worn out. But they made it safe to land. That's right. They probably wouldn't have. They need to eat a little bit and get their faith stronger. But what I'm telling you is this, man. Sometimes you see people go out of this world and they're weak, they're wearied, and they're labored, and they're tired, but they make it safe home.
Amen.
They landed safely on the shore.
Amen.
Woo, hallelujah. Ain't that good?
Yeah,
brother, they've made it. They've made it. I mean, sometimes we don't know what to do in a storm. We don't know how to act and what goes on. But, man, as the storm ends, you look up and you say, whew, we're here. And I don't really know how I made it, but it's by the grace of God. By the mercies and the goodness of our Lord, I made it safe home. Amen. How about you tonight? Brother Ronnie, come on, let's sing something, if you would, this evening.